Isn't this a sports show?
So I got a haircut yesterday, 2 days ago. I also brought the beard in a little bit today.
Ooh.
And so this is basically, I'm just waiting for the guy that said I looked fatter on Facebook than I sound on the radio.
Almost entirely.
Just come back now. It was mostly fluff. Facebook commenter.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
He also called into the postgame show at one point, and he's cool. Mom, please stop bullying that guy. It's fine.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. Not a joke. None of what I just said was a joke. Every single syllable was a real thing.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
That was bad. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but it was bad. There it is. Hold on. Let me change that. That was bad. I admit it. I'm not sorry.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
Of all the things I thought we may get today, Chiefs news on the injury front for the second consecutive week would not have been the first thing I would have expected. I knew coming into today's show we would talk a little bit about KU beating Baylor on Saturday night. We'd talk a little bit about Hunter Dozier's contract extension. We would talk to Matt Derrick because that's just a thing that we do on Mondays, but I figured we would predominantly be talking to him about Mitchell Schwartz's injury update and see what he thought about what that meant for the future of the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. And then today, we got a little bit of news in a press conference from Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach that is certainly going to set up where we'll start with today's show. And it also will put us in a spot here to open the show with Brett Veach's own voice here just momentarily, because I want you to hear directly from Brett Veach so you can hear everything he said the exact way that he said it, because I do think all of that matters. And then, you know, all of this is going to set up a little bit of guesswork. You're going to, every single person who has responded to any of my tweets on this topic has come at it in a very sort of like, yeah, but sort of breathless way. And I get it. We'll get to you. Yeah, but people, we'll get to you in a second. Ultimately, though, this is a very interesting and almost certainly positive thing that we heard from Brett Veach today. We also got a conclusion to the J.J. Watt sweepstakes. He's not coming to Kansas City. Sorry, everybody. He wants to play with a real contender that's paying him $23 million guaranteed. Oh, just listen. He just really likes Kyler Murray. Okay, I don't see what the
big
problem is.
He's a young up and comer.
He's a young up and coming quarterback, and also 2 years, $31 million.
J.J. Watt's got a lot of career left. You know,
yeah.
He's just looking for a team. Well, he's looking for an up-and-coming team because he's an up-and-coming player.
Listen, the Chiefs' arrow, I mean, it in a very literal sense, it's pointing down. They won the Super Bowl, then lost the Super Bowl. Next year, probably won't even be in it. Year after that, probably won't even be in the AFC Championship game. J.J. Watt's trying to get it on the ground floor of the Arizona Cardinals. It has nothing to do with the fact that no one else is going to give him $31 million over 2 years, with $23 million of that being guaranteed. If I shouted $23 million of it being guaranteed, it's because that's a significant amount of money. But good for him. Just glad that he's out there playing for, he's playing for a contender. And he's always healthy, and that's important as well. I did like that that he was able to announce his destination himself. He tweeted something like, sources me, and then it was a picture of him doing squats wearing a Cardinals shirt.
I'm still waiting for that second source, by the way.
Yeah,
I was
listen,
taught to never trust a story without two sources.
Gotta have two sources. I do think the Cardinals may have confirmed it. You can look into that if you'd like, but
that doesn't count.
It's not the same.
They're obviously biased.
That's a great point.
I need to know what T.J. Watt thinks. That's what I'm waiting for.
The most on-brand part of all of that is that J.J. Watt tweeted out that announcement literally of him doing squats. I mean, there's not a more J.J. Watt way to announce some big breaking news. I don't know. Does J.J. Watt have kids? I imagine J.J. Watt has kids. It just seems like he would have kids.
I don't think he does, actually. I think he just got married not that, like, within the last, like, year or two ago.
Well,
not that you couldn't have kids, just I don't think that's what the Bible says.
He's
not necessarily somebody who has like been in a long been in a relationship for a long period of time.
So I don't know.
I don't believe he does, because his wife is a professional soccer player in Chicago.
Oh, that's true. Actually, yeah. I did know that vaguely.
I forget her name.
Well, the first thing you type, does J.J. Watt, the first thing is still play football.
Well, he does.
Which he does.
That appears to be true. Again, haven't heard the confirmation, but it appears to be true.
So let's just say that he doesn't have kids then. Yeah, it looks like his now wife's name, I suppose. Yes, his wife now. Her name is Kalea Ojai. How do I do, Rudy? You know more about soccer than I do.
I believe she's a Houston native, which I think is how they met, but I do not.
Oh, and she just demanded a trade.
Ooh.
Out of Houston.
Does Arizona have a women's soccer
team? She says it's Easterby's fault. That's wild.
Yeah, understandable.
Whenever J.J. Watt, if J.J. Watt and his wife do have children at some point, the gender reveal will be him, will be like the color of the plates on the bar that he is squatting when that video comes out. There will be a tackling dummy that he will run and tackle, and whenever it hits the ground, pink or blue smoke will come out of the tackling dummy. Like, that is simply how it's going to be. J.J. Watt will be doing football activities in every announcement he makes for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Now, do we think he did indeed complete the squat? Because he could have just put that,
wow,
you know.
Do you think he just got
under the bar, lifted a little bit, and then been like, hey, I'm good.
No. J.J. Watt, absolutely
That's
not.
True.
Absolutely not.
Too pure of a man.
T.J. Watt, maybe.
Derek, absolutely.
D.J. Watt, who knows?
Absolutely.
Is Derek Watt, is his middle initial,
Derek.
Is it his middle initial J something?
I don't think so.
It's kind of wild that you would have J.J. and T.J., but then you'd be like, and Derek.
Oh, yeah, Derek John Watt.
Okay, why isn't he DJ?
Is he the oldest of the brothers?
Is it because he doesn't want to have people call him DJ Watt? Is DJ Watt taken already? Was that already a music act? I bet it is. I bet if you go to twitter.com/DJ Watt, you're going to get some sort of disc jockey.
If you type in DJ Watt, it says, did you mean TJ Watt? Probably.
David Watt has the DJ Watt Twitter account. He does not appear to be a DJ. He appears to be some sort of farmer.
Yeah, Derek's a guy, has no nickname for a DJ. Doesn't appear that he was ever a DJ.
Has there ever been a DJ Watt? Because it seems pretty good. It seems like it's electric.
Why would you not be DJ? Because he even says, like, hey, in 2020, Derek appeared in a Subway commercial with the brother JJ and TJ. Why would it not be DJ, JJ, and TJ?
I'm baffled by this. If I could get one question in JJ Watt's opening press conference with the Cardinals, that would be the question I ask.
Okay,
someone get me the Zoom link.
Here's a twist. So, to my knowledge, obviously, JJ does not have a child. To my knowledge, TJ does not have a child. Derek has two childs. Logan James Watt, so we got an LJ.
Well, some would call them children. Go ahead.
So we got an LJ, a Logan James Watt, but here's where it gets crazy.
Oh, no.
Braden George Watt. He broke the trend.
With a
sounds like a J. It's got that J sound, but it's a G.
If he would have, what's that one's name?
Braden George Watt.
If it would have been Braden George Watt, but with a J, if it would have been J-O-R, if it would have been like Jorge, basically,
yeah,
but it's pronounced
George,
that would have been totally fine.
Yeah.
Well, no. You cannot be BJ Watt. He did his kid a favor. Dodged a bullet.
Huh.
Derek Watt's a good dad.
You know what? That is a really good dad.
I've done a 180 on Derek Watt. He's my favorite now.
BG is a better nickname than BJ.
Sure is. Just can't be BJ Watt.
Interesting.
I mean, we solved it.
Good job, Derek.
What's it like saying that sentence out loud, Rudy?
So that's in the last 2 weeks on two different shows, a joke about essentially that has been made.
Wow, really?
That I've been around for, yeah.
Well, we'll keep it moving then. Beard's like that joke so much, he just sneezed loud, hard. That was an aggressive
really,
sneeze.
Haggling back there.
Who's he haggling with? Are you buying something right now?
His nose.
I need some Kleenexes. That's what I need.
I feel like that got a little bit on the nose at the end there, Rudy. I feel like I got a little on the nose.
Yeah, that was the essentially the joke from maybe 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Border Patrol?
Yes.
Yes. Good for them. How are those guys? How are Steven and Nick?
Nick is good. You know, it was Nick's birthday today.
I need to tell Nick happy birthday. That's really
Nick Bacady.
That's really egg on my nose.
Had his 27th birthday today.
Wow, that's crazy. I would have guessed he was older than that.
Nope. You know, people also think his name is Nate, but that's just not, hasn't been true.
It's Nick, short for Nickthin, which is crazy. So this is kind of interesting. Well, I believe this is a oftentimes considered questionable source, just because I'm vaguely aware of John Gambadoro, because he works in radio in Arizona. I don't know him at all, but I feel like there is essentially a meme that his reports are frequently not the most accurate. I don't know anything about him other than I believe that meme. So he might be, his word may be gospel, it may be nonsense, but he just tweeted a little bit ago, I hadn't seen this till just now, the deal J.J. Watt signed with the Cardinals was not the most he was offered. The Cleveland Browns and Indianapolis Colts each offered more money. Tennessee's offer was very similar.
I mean, I'm not surprised if multiple teams, now of course there
those
is
teams
like
are all in a similar tier, I think.
Yeah, and there's also, there's probably a little bit in terms of guaranteed money. Also
true.
The NFC appears to be an easier, I don't want to say it's easy, because you still, you know, got to deal with Tom Brady, and as we've seen, that's never, Tom Brady will be 50 and I'll still be afraid to play him in the playoffs.
100%.
But like, you know, it's really just kind of one team there versus the AFC, which again, as we've talked about, like, as impressive, well, what the Chiefs have done the last 3 years is wildly impressive when you consider just the amount of talent within that conference as a whole.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. Again, all of those teams, I'm not sure any of those teams are clearly better than the Cardinals.
No.
Also, at least Arizona is warm still.
It might be the best.
Maybe he likes that. Because
it was, what, Tennessee, Cleveland,
and
Arizona,
Indy.
I mean, Arizona's got the best quarterback probably in that group.
Probably right.
Right?
Like, yeah.
So like,
there was a report I saw earlier that the quarterback was really important to him.
Yeah.
If you're picking between those teams, yeah. I thought Pittsburgh just made too much sense.
Brothers are at.
You could have played. Do you know how crazy? There's no way that's happened before, right? Three brothers on the same team?
I can't imagine.
That seems impossible.
And with Ben Roethlisberger coming back, there was a sense of like, we're going all out 1 year, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do everything we can. We'll move money around. Well, we may destroy our cap for the next 3 years, but we're going to just really put it all in, you know, all our eggs into this basket for 1 year, and like, let's go do this.
And maybe JJ didn't want a second year than playing for Mason Rudolph, and basically at that point, the Houston Texans.
And Mason Rudolph, they got Dwayne Haskins. Mason better watch out.
Oh, that's true. They do have Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, Mason better watch out. Dwayne might take him to a strip club and not wear a mask. By the way, Brian on Facebook says, Derek Watt said he doesn't go by DJ because of Full House when they were kids, because there is a DJ Tanner in Full House.
Excellent, excellent Facebook comment. Incredibly good work. Who left that comment?
Brian Williamson.
Brian Williams from NBC. Honored that you would take time out of your night from doing the news to tell us that fact. I hope you're more... Brian Williams was the one who got in trouble for lying about like being in a helicopter that was being like shot at in Iraq or something, right?
Yes.
So let's just really double check our facts on
that. Well, this
great
guy is,
work, Brian, on
this
Facebook.
This is Williamson. So
okay,
you know,
well then we're safe.
There's an extra consonant and vowel in there.
Great. I mean, just as efficient as the Facebook comment section has ever been for us.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, I got a question, and someone on Facebook is like, here's the answer. No charge.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Well, on that note, I feel like we have now successfully done an open to this show that wasn't just me yelling about Brett Veach to you.
Yeah.
So now, why don't we hear from Brett Veach? I'll tell you, this is, again, the news of the day that there's a lot of different ways we can go about all of this. But Brett Veach, GM of the Chiefs, had a press conference this morning, and there were a few things that are interesting that we'll unpack over the course of the show today. But clearly the most impactful thing regardless of how much of it ends up coming true, was what Brett Veach said whenever he was asked about the timelines for recovery on Patrick Mahomes, Mitchell Schwartz, and Eric Fisher.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at my medical notes here. So Pat had his toe surgery on 2/10. You know, talking to Rick late last week, it's a 3-month recovery. So we're hopeful, you know, somewhere around that mandatory mini camp if we have. You know, we certainly think by training camp he'll be good to go, and we'll be smart with him. Mitch just recently had his disc worked on, and we're hopeful for him to return to training camp, and the same thing with Fish. So we're hopeful both these guys will, you know, complete the rehab and be available for training camp and to start the 2021 season. I would probably say Pat's ahead of them just because of the that type of injury and probably a quicker recovery, but hopefully have all three ready to go by training camp.
So if that was just him talking about Mitch Schwartz and Patrick Mahomes, that would have still been a really important, relevant update to how things were going. Because look, Ian Rappaport had reported the timeline on Patrick Mahomes' surgery, and Rappaport twice now has tweeted in a way that makes me think that he believes newborn babies are popping out and then running wind sprints immediately.
I mean, Mahomes' baby, maybe.
That's a great point.
I love that he doubled down on that. You know that he probably saw multiple replies to, like, think babies, and he was just like, he just looked at this and was like, you know what? I got a chance to double down right here.
Twice now, Rappaport has tweeted about how Patrick Mahomes is going to have a hard time chasing that newborn baby around while he's recovering from his turf toe surgery. And twice I've gone, listen, Ian, I haven't been around that many babies in my life, and I certainly don't have one of my own. But, Ian, I really don't think they're running around pretty much fresh out the womb. But, you know, listen, Ian's a football reporter, not a baby reporter.
I mean, you know, there was
I just thought about now the idea of there being a baby reporter, and that is great. Go ahead.
There was the whole, you know, deal how obviously, Patrick and Brittany hadn't released photos of the baby, you know, immediately. Maybe it's just because I can't get the baby to stop running around to take a picture. It's just blurry.
Their baby is Dash from The Incredibles.
Pretty
and
much.
It's just there's no shutter speed fast enough.
We just don't got a camera for that yet.
That's pretty good. But so if that was just about Mahomes and Mitch Schwartz, because we got the update on Mahomes from Rappaport pretty much as it was happening, and then Schwartz gave his own update saying, hey, it's not too long of a recovery time, feeling pretty good. Veach there is the first time that anyone particularly, in the know is what I was going to say, so I'll just continue with some very good references just for three people. But we haven't really heard from anyone from the Chiefs or even any highly informed reporters, I don't think, say the word disc around Mitch Schwartz's surgery. It very much makes sense. I think it was Schwartz's wife that had said something about getting spinal surgery, which is obviously not pleasant. But some of those specifics have stayed a little bit fuzzy just in terms of official conversations and official reports and everything. But from Schwartz himself, he said recovery time's not too bad. And then also, for the way the Chiefs handled this to have really made any sense at all, you would have to think they expect him to be ready for training camp. Otherwise, you probably pull the plug whenever you put him on IR, which I think was week 11. I might be off by a week or two in one direction or another there, but you probably pull the plug and let him go get the surgery and try to get that rehab process going sooner if it takes longer. Assuming that everything we heard there today is right, then that's all logical. But Veach also threw Eric Fisher's name in there. Now, Eric Fisher had Achilles surgery after suffering an Achilles injury. We all believe it to be ruptured Achilles. Again, I'm not sure that was ever officially said. Mm-hmm. But he tore his Achilles in the AFC Championship game. Achilles injuries, especially for offensive linemen, I mean, for everybody, really, but for a lineman, maybe even more so, because you're dealing with being essentially they're trying to put you on your heels 24/7. That's a defensive lineman's job in that spot, more or less. That is a hefty recovery process. I hadn't heard from anybody, either that we'd had on the show and talked about it, or just in some conversations privately, I hadn't heard anybody be more optimistic than a mid-season return? And mid-season was usually feeling more like 6 to 8 weeks than 4 to 6. I was just that, and that's so that's the headspace that I've been in. Is, I mean, it's an Achilles, and he's going to get the best treatment in the world and all that, but it's really hard to see him coming back before the mid-season mark. The thing about that is that if Eric Fisher is not going to play for you until mid-season, it would make more sense, honestly, for the Chiefs to release him sometime this offseason. Cutting Eric Fisher, the Chiefs could free up $12 million in cap space. You would carry a $3 million dead cap hit. There's an argument that that may have been worth taking a very, very, very long look at pre-injury, really. It just sort of depends on how you feel about Lucas Niang, and it got complicated more with Mitchell Schwartz's injury because it put things back up in the air again. But Fisher had one of the more movable cap hits even before he was hurt. And I asked Matt Dierkraut this last week. Again, he'll join us in about half an hour now. But I always, you know, I'm trying to make sure I don't miss something like what an injury settlement may do, or if there are any injury guarantees that aren't obvious on the face of the deal. And Matt said he's got no information to indicate that there would be anything that would complicate things with Fisher, and that really the Chiefs could just move on, give him his dead cap hit, and roll on with those $12 million and do something else this offseason. That would be a fiscally reasonable thing for the Chiefs to do, especially if you didn't expect to see him until the halfway point of the year. You take that logical leap and you say, all right, we're going to try to get Schwartz back. We'll have Niang. Maybe we'll try to bring back Mike Rimmers. And, you know, hopefully we see them draft somebody in the first or second round. And those guys all compete for that left tackle spot. And maybe you even bring in another veteran free agent of some sort. You got $12 million from Fisher's departure there that you could play around with. That's where my head has been pretty much since we got the word that he was out with an Achilles in the AFC Championship game. But then Veach throws him into that group with Schwartz and Mahomes, saying we expect him back for training camp. Later in the press conference, Veach was asked to clarify where he was at timeline-wise with Eric Fisher and if they expected him to be out there in week one.
Yeah, I think look at my notes right here. Yeah. Achilles surgery, 129. You know, based on Rick and his medical staff, he projects a mid-August return. So now listen, how that works, you know, everything is different and everyone recovers differently. So, you know, I think with that injury and, you know, with the time leading up for the season, you know, Rick has here a mid-August return. And you know how that works. That's all always, you know, to be determined until the player actually reports back to camp and goes through the offseason and see where he is. But I think that, you know, the mid-August timeline was put in front of my notes here. So, you know, I'll defer to Rick on that and trust his medical expertise.
It's even an interesting way of talking about it, honestly. So Rick Burkholder is the Chiefs VP of Sports Medicine and Performance. We've brought up his name even more often than usual as of late because he's also been their chief COVID officer and has had a bigger role across. It sounded like in the NFL's formation, some of the COVID protocols and everything. Burkholder seems like he's really, you know, very good at his job. Mm-hmm. If Burkholder's putting down a mid-August return, I'm inclined to think that we can Occam's razor this a little bit. It would be wild for the Chiefs VP of Sports Medicine Performance, head trainer, etc., you know, for him to lie to the general manager on a piece of paper about when Eric Fisher is going to return seems crazy to me. That seems really unlikely. Also, it seems like Brett Veach also might have a little bit of hesitance about what exactly they can expect of Eric Fisher in terms of whenever he'll be back. But it doesn't, for Brett Veach to be lying about what's on the paper seems crazy. And the idea that Veach would not be getting the absolute truth from Burkholder is absolutely ridiculous. And so maybe it's optimistic. Maybe it's maybe it's saying, hey, best case scenario is that he's back mid-August. And maybe it's even that he's just taking his first practice reps in mid-August in an individual circumstance. Maybe he's still weeks away from football activities at that point. Maybe, but that's not what they made it sound like out there today. Here's the other thing, though. And I'm guessing I haven't looked at Facebook or Twitch or YouTube. You can watch the show, the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube channels. Facebook.com/SportsRadio810, Twitch.tv/SportsRadio810, YouTube.com/810WHB. And I'm guessing that there and on the text line and on Twitter and everything, I'm getting what I got earlier today over Twitter from a bunch of people, which is, well, they still need to draft somebody. You know, this doesn't matter. They still need to draft somebody. I want to address that exact person for a moment, which is actually many people. Hey, you are correct. You're right. I agree with you. The Chiefs absolutely should still draft for the future of their offensive line, as Mitch Schwartz and Eric Fisher are both NFL older. They're not NFL ancient, but they're both no longer spring chickens, if you will. And they're both coming off of significant injuries. I absolutely expect that the Chiefs are going to spend another pick in the first three rounds on a tackle, would be my guess. It was a third round pick last year with Lucas Niang. So they're going to get a third round tackle back, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But, so now, I hope I've been clear there. I expect they're going to draft someone. Now, if you're saying it's got to be in the first round, I think depending on how the board falls, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be disappointed. But I don't know. We're still a ways away from the draft, and clearly what the Chiefs are going to do in the first round with their first round draft pick has not been a particular point of correctness for me over the last 360 some days. I have made some mistakes.
But what you're saying is they might draft a running back in the first round again this year.
I'm saying if that happens, I'm going to have to quit. I'm not promising that I'm going to quit. This is not a bet. I'm saying I'm going to have to quit. This is just going to be untenable for me. But let's just say, for the sake of this particular conversation, that the Chiefs' timeline on Eric Fisher is optimistic, and they're saying we're going to be able to be working him back by mid-September and not mid-August, fully in full pads, ready to go. Now, all of a sudden, even if I'm hitting snooze on what they're expecting a couple times, you're talking about surviving four games or so without Eric Fisher, as opposed to eight, or if you release him, 16, or I guess really maybe 17. And if the Chiefs are buying the timeline they presented out there today, that's probably enough reason not to cut him for the cap space. And then you get Niang, maybe Rimmers, probably some sort of to-be-determined TBD rookie that can all compete for that left tackle spot starting week one and then try to hold that down until Fisher comes back, probably around week four. This obviously, to me, this is obvious. This obviously doesn't mean that they should not draft a tackle early on in the draft. They should. But what it does mean, if they are planning on having Fisher back, is it means there is less time to have to patch the holes without him, and it changes two things for whatever rookie they would theoretically draft. One is it makes it a little less dire. It's not quite so urgent that you take a tackle at 31. Because whenever you say, hey, with the 31st pick, we're just going to take the best tackle who's out there, the only guys you may have had with a first-round grade may be off the board already. In fact, you might be looking at a bunch of guys with late second-round grades that you think might actually be there whenever you're picking again in the 60s. But now you're saying, you know what? We just have to have the best remaining tackle. Do you know who the best remaining edge rusher was a few years ago? The Chiefs traded up for him. I remember Brett Veach talking about how they moved up for Breland Speaks because there was a run on edges, and they wanted to get an edge, and they went up and said, this is the last guy who's kind of in this tier for us still. We're going to go up and get him. You do not want to feel forced to take a certain position because the more flexible you can be, the more likely you are to be the team that stops the slide for an edge rusher who was projected to go 16 but is still there at 31, or a corner who was supposed to be a top 15 pick who's still there at 31. Or maybe it's a center or a guard or a tackle. But whenever you have flexibility that way, it allows you to capitalize on some unexpected things that could end up turning into a positive for you. What it also would mean is whoever they end up adding, whatever rookie offensive tackle they go get, if they believe that Eric Fisher is going to be out there early in the season, you don't need that guy to start for you day one. This is something that having Schwartz back helps with as well. It lessens that pressure on that guy. It probably lessens that pressure on Lucas Niang. And I don't mean pressure as in, like, mental stress. I mean pressure as in organizational stress. The Chiefs had to start Andrew Wiley at right tackle and Mike Rimmers at left tackle against the best defensive line they faced all year in the Super Bowl. And it went poorly. Whenever you have a few more options, you have a little more depth, you're trying to fill a 3 or 4 week hole. You're trying to have somebody come in and patch it up. And then you think you're going to be able to go back to have your Super Bowl winning tackles that were there for you last year before they both got hurt in ways that ended their season. Now, look, there's a chance that this has all just been stuff that Brett Veach is saying, and maybe they've already decided, healthy or injured, whatever, that maybe them saying that Fisher's going to be good to go by week one of the regular season helps them in some way not have to worry about any sort of injury-based complications from moving on from his contract. And if that happens, then this is all going to have been a conversation for an alternate timeline in a different universe, which is totally possible. It's totally possible that Fisher and Schwartz are both nowhere near ready by week one, that they cut Fisher sometime before the draft, and that Schwartz starts the year on the PUP list. That's totally on the table. And whatever conversations that are being had within the Chiefs locker room, in their front office, those conversations need to be had with all of these things on the table, and they have more information than we do, obviously. But with what we know today, it adds only really more good doors the Chiefs could walk through in terms of their tackles if they really do believe that the path back for Eric Fisher is optimistic. I'm still hesitant about what Veach said today being absolute gospel, but I've got no reason to think that this is actually going to blow up in some huge way, because I also don't think it would make a lot of sense for them to take this news from Fisher and Schwartz and go, all right, cool, we'll figure out tackle next year. Because honestly, I don't think next year they want to be in this position. Next year, they want to be able to say, hey, we're moving on from Fisher and Schwartz both, and we're starting Lucas Niang and Alex Leatherwood or whatever. I'm learning names of college offensive linemen. Is Leatherwood the tackle?
He is the, I think he played center, but there's talk about him moving to tackle. Or wait,
No, that's the other guy.
No, that's the
other
guy. Yeah, Alex Leatherwood is the tackle. Yes.
Is Dickerson the center?
Dickerson's the center.
I'm
Leatherwood
learning
was
offensive
the tackle.
Lineman names. I only know if you're from Alabama, I've got your name in here because you could go in the mid-30s. Yeah. Draft season! Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk probably more about the Chiefs' offensive line. That's kind of where we're at today. We'll talk about it with Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest in about 20 minutes as well.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Tell you what, this has been the most enjoyable show we've done in a while.
Oh, for sure. Stupid Chiefs.
Stupid damn Chiefs.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What are you giggling at, Rudy?
So Honey Makes Me Happy on Twitter.
Twitch, certainly.
Yes, yeah, says, can we talk about Josh's necklace, or is it too early in the show for that?
It's never too early.
It's very
early.
Spot on. It's a good comment.
It only pops out whenever there's layers above it. Otherwise, it's just kind of hiding under there.
Yeah.
But I had a very plain shirt today, and so I thought, you know what? I can go ahead and let the chain come out a little bit. Otherwise, I look like an NPC, you know? Mm-hmm. I look like an NPC without the necklace out. Whip it out, though, all of a sudden, I'm like a very early game main character.
For sure.
Which is, that's my whole aesthetic.
Also, you saying you're learning the names of college draft, you know, linemen, this may backfire soon because the live stream media wants to know what your opinions are on Mo Lester from Illinois.
I mean, that simply cannot be a real man's name, right?
Honestly, I don't know.
It is simply impossible. Listen, we just talked about how B.J. Watt dodged a bullet by actually being named B.G. Watt. There is no way. If your name is like, you know, Mohammed Lester or something, you got to go by Mohammed Lester. You simply cannot. What is Mo Vaughn short for?
I don't know. Maybe Maurice, maybe?
Is it if your name is Maurice.
Nice.
If your name is Maurice Lester, you have to go by Maurice.
I think I thought there was a chance of that because I think like Mo Alley Cox, that tight end for the Colts, I think his first name is actually Maurice. I think. I'm not even actually sure if that's true or not, but I think that's
I got it
from.
That's fine. I feel pretty good about that not being. You know what? Either that's a fake name, for the goofs and the ha-has, or I got him as an early day three, late day two pick.
I Googled Mo Lester, Illinois.
Yeah.
And the first thing that popped up was Josephine Lester obituary, Kansas City, Illinois, 1931 to 2020. R.I.P. Josephine.
Now, if we want to play the game of just...
The rest of the headlines are not good.
That's good. Let's not read any more of them then. I mean, you can read them quietly to yourself.
Yeah,
but
that's the good one. The rest of them are about one story, and it's not a good story.
I would imagine not. In fact, I'd love to continue not knowing what that story is. Now, if you want to play this game differently and you want to ask me about, you want to just go find random day three prospects, mm-hmm. I would be more than happy to play that game. Maybe later in the show, because I do want to get to some more Brett Veach audio. But later in the show, if you want to play the game of Josh evaluates day three prospects he's never heard of until just now, I'm ready to play that game. I can definitely do that for you.
Now, are we doing just offensive linemen?
No.
Okay.
Open it up.
I love it.
Yeah, open it up. I got something on everybody. I am
Trevor Lawrence.
Never heard of him.
Patrick Mahomes.
Not draft eligible.
Are we sure?
Pretty sure. Pretty confident. We should do that. We should do that later in the show, though. I like that game a lot, and I also think my only concern is that I might end Todd McShay's career by accident by just showing you how fickle all of this is.
Did you see real fast? Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper has never released a mock draft with trades in it.
Sure.
Ever. It's not his thing. He's like, I'm not here to tell you who's going to trade or not. That's not what I do. I just tell you who the team should draft. He released a mock draft with trades.
Whoa!
Because there were too many good quarterbacks at the top of the draft. He just felt like he wasn't doing the readers justice by not suggesting trades.
He decided this in year 900 of doing mock drafts?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed. He should have just stuck to his guys and be like, nah, not happening.
So I'm going to take two comments here back to back from the Twitch feed, which I'm just very much enjoying the Twitch feed. One from Bartman KC on Twitch that I think they'll whack fish and try to pick up a vet and mine for gold day three. No one thinks that injury is recoverable in this time frame. My hunch is in a similar vein there, where I think it depends on how much they actually like Lucas Niang, and like
if he
shows up to camp 20 pounds overweight, the whole strategy goes up in flames. If he comes to camp looking like post serum Captain America, then everything is great. There's no in between at this point.
If he looks like the guy who was able to hold his own against Chase Young.
Yeah.
You got a left tackle.
You're
good.
At the very least, maybe he plays left tackle in 2021, and then you think, you know what, that wasn't an ideal performance, but maybe Mitch Schwartz is either retiring or just moving on after next year. You can move Niang to right. Eric Fisher had to bounce around a little bit over the beginning of his career. It wasn't ideal for him, obviously, but and then maybe you looked at add even more talent in the future. But I certainly think they're going to draft a guard or a center in the last several rounds.
I would be shocked if an interior offensive lineman is not added at some point. I wouldn't be surprised if it was earlier in the draft as well. My guess is not going to be a first or second round pick, but I would not be surprised if it was a third or later.
And then Honey Makes Me Happy on Twitch says, Josh strikes me as more of a candy necklace kind of guy. And I now have to tell the brief story of how I felt very much attacked by my own taste in things. There was, I believe it was a GQ Post Malone video a while back. This is probably a couple years ago at this point. And he was going through, like, it was like GQ has various sorts of videos sort of in this vein. It was something like, show us, basically, take us through all your jewelry or whatever.
Yeah.
And I love videos like that because I'm a sucker. And so he's going through all of these bajillion dollar watches that he has and all of this stuff. And he has this, like, this, I think it ended up being a Chanel necklace or something. I think it was a Chanel necklace that is made to look like a candy necklace, but it's got little like Chanel logo charms on it in different places and everything. And I saw that. I was like, well, that's exactly my, I love
that's
this.
That's your aesthetic.
I would love to have this. I think I found it on Poshmark for like, it was at least four digits and then I was out again. And that's not counting the digits that come after the period. It was not 20.00. It was definitely at least a grand.
You gotta
find
the fake one.
I black out at that point.
You gotta find the fake one.
Maybe that should have been the thing. But then I saw that video. I was like, man, that's perfect. I love this. And but also, am I gonna copy Post Malone? And then you know the hat that I have that Sterling always thinks says cauliflower, but it actually says California with a U
oh,
in it,
yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
kind of gray denim hat.
Yes.
That is a hat from the band The Neighborhood. Really like The Neighborhood. I've talked about them in Shot Clock reviews before. All that goodness. I'm watching this video, and I've liked The Neighborhood for a very long time. I'm watching this video of Post Malone talking about this expensive necklace that I like. And he says, yeah, actually, I just stole the swag, essentially, of Jesse from The Neighborhood, the lead singer of The Neighborhood. He had it, I liked it, and so I bought it. And I realized at this point that my expensive, just sort of millennial pop star fashion tastes that have become a much maligned part of my brand at its peak over the last several years has become the snake eating its own tail. It is just musical artists that I like stealing style from each other and then bringing it out on a GQ video that I'm watching because I'm a sucker, and then I realize that I can't afford any of that, and then so I just go on Amazon and just try to figure out, well, if I just change, I could just get real candy necklaces if I just like change them out every day, and then I got a little snack there in case I get peckish. I feel like getting more candy jewelry for adults is actually probably a good market. You know how many times I wish I could replace my bracelet with a candy bracelet?
Mm-hmm.
During the commercial, I could say, all right, I'll have to take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk more about Breath of Each. Hunk, and I could take a bite out of my bracelet. That'd be lovely. By the end of the day, we've all eaten just a bracelet full of candy.
I'm in on this. I think I would want, like, maybe it's a meat necklace of some sort, right?
That is a euphemism for like some sort of like way of killing someone, isn't it?
I don't know, honestly. Well, let's go to Urban Dictionary.
Don't, hey, Rudy, keep Googling, keep typing. Don't read first.
I will not.
Don't read out loud before
reading
to yourself.
I will read before I speak.
I have found this necklace again on somewhere like $3,000 there. That's just not.
Yep, not reading that out loud.
Oh, no. Is it worse than whatever
I
was thinking?
I mean, in theory, what you're thinking, this could also happen if somebody did this to said person.
That seems, I don't know, that seems unpleasant. Now I've got it. Now I've got to look it up. We couldn't find it on Urban Dictionary, it says.
Yeah. Meat.
You know what? Let's not encourage the Googling. Let's just take a break, and whenever we come back, we'll either get to my Brett Veach audio, or we won't, and we can all together figure out collectively if we're going to ask Matt Derrick if he knows what a meat necklace is. That's coming up over the course of the rest of the show.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We got a tweet a little while ago from Corey on Twitter saying, can we talk about how hilarious it would be if the Chiefs found Josh so annoying they drafted a running back in the first round again just to encourage him to quit? I can't rule it out. I think it's got to be at least kind of on the table as an option that the Chiefs know that they have if they do want to just get me out of here. Again, not as a bet, because, you know, feels like there's at least a chance. But I just don't think I could show my face anymore. Like the time after the draft was already so difficult. It would be difficult. Yeah, because yeah. I mean, look, whenever I'm ultimately proven right about everything I've ever said and done, just as I have on every single issue from day one up until now, from running backs to everything else, that takes some time eventually to prove that I am flawless in every single way. I just don't have that kind of patience. I'm not perfect.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.